here. Cecily Hall is the Director of Benefits for Microsoft, so would you please welcome her to the podium.
Well, thank you. It is an absolute honor to be here, and I so appreciate the opportunity. I'm here to offer an employer perspective. And I have spent the last 18 years at Microsoft in the benefits function, but I will tell you 2.5 weeks ago, I retired. And I'll put retirement in quotes.
With benefits?
No, I don't have my, well, I'm Cobra, but yeah. I should have fixed that before I left. But I'll put retirement in quotes because I have been, at least for the last 2.5 weeks, very busy on a lot of the topics that we've been talking about in the last few days. And so it's probably more appropriate to say instead of retirement, I'm out finding my next big adventure. But while I do find that, what I'm encouraged by is the conversations we've had in the last few days and all of the very bright people in this room and those that have had to leave that are working on these very issues. At Microsoft, we're spending hundreds of millions of dollars every year on healthcare, so I'm going to focus my talk predominantly on healthcare today. But I was responsible for the most of my career in the U.S., so it's also going to be relegated to U.S. discussion. But I have some international experience, and Jody will be pleased to know that we do have at Microsoft paid programs for new fathers, new mothers, and paid leave for those individuals who need to care for their parents or children. But I often tell audiences that I take some personal responsibility to go out and seed clouds. And when I say that, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to share some thoughts and some ideas and in a very candid way tell you what has worked at Microsoft and also even share some of the things that have not worked at Microsoft. But candidly, and I can say this about my own peer group, I think we need to add some loft to the intellectual approach of employee benefits. And I had the opportunity to work at Microsoft, obviously, in an environment where creativity is applauded and it's cultural. And innovation is cultural. And so we got to do some different things. And so I'm going to take you through a few of those. I think, though, we all have to think globally and act locally so we can actually get something done. So with that, let me give you... So today I'll go through some background. I'll talk about innovation and why it's important in the employee benefits space. Some of the winners and some of the losers, meaning the programs that I felt accountable for and some of the lessons learned along the way, some advice from the trenches, and then, of course, the road ahead. Oh, that'd be great. Thank you. As background, a few of you have seen a couple of these slides, so I apologize for the repetition, but I think it's important to understand for the rest of the audience that Microsoft is now in over 104 countries worldwide. Predominantly the U.S., and the average age is 37. The male-female split has not changed in the last 18 years, interestingly enough, but the average tenure is about 6 years, and that's not necessarily uncommon for the tech sector. That's actually fairly normal. However, based on that average age, as you can imagine, they are a group of individuals who 51%, more than half, have children. And the average family size is 2.6, but they are also a very fertile bunch. They are averaging about 8 babies a day in the U.S., and oh, here comes one now as we speak. And that's it. That's the extent of my PowerPoint skills, so I can make a bird fly, and that's about it. So it doesn't get any fancier than this from this point forward. There is no member cost share for healthcare, which is highly unusual in the U.S. So individuals are not paying out of their paychecks for coverage. They are not paying anything as they access care. There's a few exceptions to that, which I'll talk about, but again, this is a really unusual approach, and it is used as a tool, if you will, in Microsoft's toolkit to compete for talent. because we realized that a very robust benefits package allowed us to compete for the best talent around the world. And in fact, I think Microsoft would tell you that they are on a daily basis in a talent war. So this became a very important recruiting tool. Certainly some enrollees are not familiar with U.S. healthcare system because Microsoft is bringing talent from around the world to the U.S. Even if they are from the U.S., they're often not necessarily familiar with why a primary care physician is important in the U.S. healthcare system. So there's some challenges there. There is a high concentration, as you saw from the previous slide, in one geographic area, and we used that and leveraged that, and I'll talk about that shortly. And then, as I said, a high ratio of new parents. The business environment, which shouldn't probably surprise you at all, is fast-paced, it's competitive, it's challenging, and Microsoft is also very cost-conscious. So I personally felt responsible for not only continuing to provide this very high-end, high-touch, wonderful experience from a benefits perspective, but to control costs. So costs were always a focus, and they continue to be for Microsoft. And that's a little difficult if you don't have the traditional cost control measures. So typically, if a company is seeing high utilization of prescription drugs, they then think about the next year they're going to introduce additional cost sharing. That was not a tool in the toolkit, if you will. That's not a lever that the team and I could pull. And candidly, some may say, well, you got hobbled, Cecily, but I would tell you something different. It allowed us to run marathons and get really good results. And often I'm asked, okay, so fess up. If success really meant that you'd maintain this high level of benefits and yet control your costs, what were your results? And while the country itself was experiencing double-digit healthcare inflation, even with this very high-end benefits experience, there were many years where we had zero healthcare trend, and other years it was single-digit healthcare trend, and again, against the backdrop of double-digit inflation. So I'm going to share with you a few of those programs, some of the details. This is not about a show and tell. This is more about, let me tell you about some of the things that I'm often asked about, and I'll do a deep dive actually on the three to the right. But I've talked about that first dollar healthcare coverage. There's a Stay Fit benefit, which is where everyone in the U.S. is given the opportunity to have a fully paid health club membership, and if they are in a geographic location where that's not feasible, we give them cash to use towards things that will keep them in better shape or better fit. So it might go towards great shoes for running. It might go to a Tai Chi class, whatever they feel is going to improve their overall health and well-being. In, it was probably 1994, we started looking at the need for a health portal. In today's market, those are very common, and you can get lots of tools over the Internet. But in its time, boy, no one was doing that, and it was an important element, I think, in allowing us to help our employees become better consumers, better educated. And if they weren't healthy, we gave them tools to get there, and once they were healthy, we gave them tools to stay there. It included online explanations of benefits, which seems so silly today because everything should be online, and yet when we tried to introduce that with the third-party administrator managing our claims, they looked at me like I was crazy. Well, we've gone green. It's a good thing. But those are the kinds of things that, again, in its day, they were a little unusual. Microsoft does on-site health screenings and flu shots, about 10,000 mobile mammography visits a year, about 12,000 health screenings for high cholesterol, blood pressure, at least 15,000 flu shots delivered on-site. Mental health benefits, we're in a situation in the U.S. where just recently mental health parity came about, but prior to that there was a typical approach to mental health benefits was that there were limitations in mental health benefits versus physical benefits. And Microsoft abandoned that prior to mental health parity because of really, I think, the view from my perspective and many others that it's all about, you know, it's mind and body. There were a few things that didn't work. And I'm all about transparency, so I'll just tell you not everything is successful. I have a longer list than the one I'll share with you, but in the interest of time, two different times during my career I tried this, year 2000 and in 2007. I really thought that there would be some advantages to having individuals have a virtual visit with their physician, meaning there's a camera on my PC, there's a camera at the doc's office, I can schedule an online visit with them. We can connect up over the internet. I can share, you know, symptoms of my mild illness. They can tell me what they, you know, their best advice. I can either go get a prescription based on that, or they can give me some good coaching on how to get better. And I, as an employer, would reimburse for that. Gee, it makes sense. It's a high-tech culture. Of course that's going to work. Well, guess what? Even in a culture where technology is incredibly prevalent, even in a culture where they would stand on, you know, anyone would stand on any podium and tell you that technology is key to the best forward-thinking delivery of healthcare, it turns out that those employees really like a high-touch, encounter with their physician. And so in 2000, I thought, well, we were just ahead of our times. It'll catch on later, so we abandoned the effort after a lot of consumer education on why we thought that was a good idea. Certainly it was going to improve their productivity. But anyway, we abandoned that, introduced it again in 2007 in a kind of a different format, different communication strategy with a local hospital. Still couldn't get it going. So it, not everything works, but you have to try. You have to think differently about the delivery of healthcare. And so I use that as one example. So I'm going to talk about three different benefit programs quickly. I won't go into a ton of detail, but and that was not a pun intended. But as you all know, we are in a crisis in the U.S. One in three individuals is anticipated to contract diabetes in the U.S. It's estimated that direct medical costs related to physical inactivity come to about $76 billion in the U.S., and that four of the 10 leading causes of death are associated with unhealthy diets. So knowing that now, this has become a national healthcare problem, but prior to that, in the year 2000, I met up with a couple doctors who had a clinical-based weight management program. And what I knew from not only looking at data, having my head down, worrying over data, but picking my head up and looking around me in the environment of Microsoft, is that there were some individuals who were really struggling with morbid obesity. And I didn't have a program for them if they came to the conclusion that they wanted to address that. So we started with a clinical-based program with this eligibility criteria, a BMI of 30 or greater, or a BMI of 27, 28, or 29 with two or more comorbidities. I ran six pilots trying to learn something about this because nobody else at the time was doing this. And I learned a few things. One is, through those six pilots, that individuals had to cost share on this particular benefit because otherwise they were missing their exercise appointments. So that was a good outcome and a good learning. But essentially, what we came up with was a benefit that would pay up to about $6,000 lifetime. And this is an intensive clinical-based program that not only includes exercise and nutrition, but it also includes behavioral health and counseling and coaching with the family. And the results are there. 50 tons of weight have been lost by those 3,000 participants so far. We are seeing decreases in prescription. We're seeing improvements in all of their readings. And the other thing that they report is that they have better self-esteem and that they're becoming stronger performers in the work environment. And they also have this affinity for Microsoft because Microsoft helped them change their lives. You can't monetize that. The return on investment, the hard return on investment, is that after 5 years, Microsoft, because of the reduction in medical costs for these individuals, is recouped completely. And in fact, prior to that, we can look at their health history and see that we were spending about 45% more on these individuals prior to the program than once they've gone through it. ABA therapy. I'm running out of time, so I'm going to go fast. But ABA therapy is applied behavioral analysis for children with autism. And in 1998, I was made aware of this therapy that was life-changing for those that were actually experiencing it. We had a small group of parents who made me aware. ABA therapy at the time was considered experimental. It was not considered standard of care. And so I was warned I should not cover, from a benefits perspective, something that was not considered standard of care. But I will tell you that after going through this process and seeing the changes amongst these children, and many of them are getting mainstreamed now into school, it absolutely was the right thing to do. And I'd love to spend more time on that if any of you are interested. I'm going to skip through, again, in the interest of time, another program called Mobile Medicine, other than to say Microsoft also had a very high utilization of the emergency room. If you think about the plan design, that makes total sense. Well, what we found is that we could replace those high-cost, probably low-impact emergency room visits with physician house calls, and that those house calls were not only lower-priced, but the physicians could spend up to an hour of time in the home and actually drive better results. So that program alone is saving Microsoft about $1 million a year in just replacement savings. And we've now delivered about our 12,000th visit. So we're not so new into this anymore, but it's amazing, again, how a high-touch environment can drive better outcomes. So Microsoft absolutely has had some recognition as employer of choice because of all of these things and many other things. I got to talk to President Obama in May about several of these programs. The one that resonated with him was Mobile Medicine, the one I spent the least amount of time on today. But I play both sides of the aisle, don't get me wrong. So I was over talking to Newt Gingrich, too, and he also thinks this particular mobile medicine program is good. But, again, this is good recognition for a company who is innovative and who is trying some new things. So specific to the road ahead, and this is my last slide, here's my advice to you. Regardless of what sector you represent, and based on what you've learned over the last couple days, you've got to be courageous. You have to have a vision and an optimistic view. And we've talked a lot about optimism, but I am definitely a girl whose glass is half full. Be results-oriented. Dig into the data. Own it. And when you get results, state them loudly and proudly. Even if they miss the expectations, you own those results and learn from them and allow others to learn from them. Communicate, 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 even when things are not going well. And please join me in seeding some clouds along the way, because I think each and every one of you has something to teach. Thanks for your time.